The Green Room with Johnstown Garden Centre, home of expert garden advice. JohnstownGardenCentre.ie.
And it also means a very good morning to our man Jim Clark, who's with us today. How you doing, Jim?
Great, John. Thanks. Good morning.
And a very good morning to you as well. Right, it's been great weather over the last few days or so, and absolutely awesome. And I think with the rain that came earlier on, I suppose when you think about it, the rain has probably helped gardens, and then the sunshine comes along and helps it. But does it have much of an impact at this time of the year compared to the middle part of summer?
It does, because we've had quite a dry period there now, and I'd say another few days of hot weather, the grass would have turned brown again. But the rain now has saved it, and it'll freshen up lawns, and any borders that were starting to droop a little bit from dryness will look a lot fresher now just with that little drop of rain. Now, it was a very little drop of rain, so it's not enough to have watered your pots or anything like that, so keep going with that and hanging baskets. What rain fell won't be enough to water those enough.
I suppose when we think about what this month is, I mean, traditionally there's always a little bit of sunshine, and it arrived in the form of a little bit of sunshine, literally. The Indian summers, as they call it, as a tradition as well. What type of stuff should we be doing in the garden now, Jim?
Well, it's autumn time, as we get into autumn, is the time to plant for spring, believe it or not. And it's all time now to plant things for like snowdrops, bluebells, crocus, daffodils, tulips, hyacinths, all those kind of spring flowering bulbs. You need to get them now and plant them now into the ground. So you've colour then from January till about May by planting spring bulbs. And once you plant spring bulbs, they're there forever, and they multiply. So it's a very small job to put them in, and you get years and years, lifetime of results back from them. So it's really well worth doing.
I always like that around the springtime as well, where you've got your shrubs and stuff along the fences and along the walls in the garden, and then they're intermixed with the likes of the snowdrops and the tulips and the early daffodils as well. And it looks brilliant when you come to the likes of the end of January into February and March.
Yeah, they're great for pots as well. Like even if you have say any flower pots that are gone tired looking at the moment, summer bedding might be fading in them or anything, take the stuff out, put in some fresh compost, plant some bulbs. Now, it can be very nice to plant one variety per pot. So you have a pot of orange tulips, a pot of yellow hyacinths, a pot of snowdrops, a pot of bluebells, anything like that. One type per pot.
Yeah.
And then As they come up in the spring, you can rearrange those around your front door. And when they're into flower, you have them at the door. When they're out of flower, you just move them away again. You can also overplant the top of the pot with something like violas or pansies or wallflowers. And that gives you green coverage over the winter, and the bulbs will come up through them. That works really well. Or another idea, if you didn't have so many pots or you just wanted to do one pot, you can now buy these mixtures. Some of them are colour coded, so they're shades of blue and white and purple, or you might get pastel shades, or you might get hot red orange mixtures. Perfectly balanced. Plant the whole lot in the one pot, and you get maybe a mixture of some. You might have crocus, hyacinths, bluebells, tulips, a whole mixture of things that will all flower at the same time, and give a beautiful flower mix. And for as little as sort of 5 to 10 euro, you can get a mixture like that. That gives so much colour, and once they're there forever. And if you don't want them in the pot afterwards, you can plant them in the garden. They'll keep multiplying, so it's really good.
Very good
time to plant those now.
That's a great idea. That's a really, really good idea, because a lot of people just automatically presume that you just chuck stuff into the ground and away you go.
Yeah, and you might think you need hundreds in the garden, but 10 tulips in a pot is a pot full, and it's easy and simple. And everybody has spare pots around the house, around the garden, and they're doing nothing.
Yeah.
Just pop a few bulbs in, and you'll have such a palette of colours to play with then, and you can keep rearranging them. Just even if you have 3 or 4 at your front door, keep changing them around as things come into flower. It's really good fun.
Okay, now let's get to some questions, Jim, because it's just becoming very, very mental just within the last few minutes or so. So let's go to the first of them. It says, Jim, how can I grow laurel from cuttings? It's not that easy to get rooted ones, says Hazel.
Laurel, as she means, I think you mean they're trying to buy bare-rooted laurel, and it's not that easy because it doesn't transplant that brilliantly if it dries out at all in the transplant process. So you can root cuttings of laurels now, this time of the year. This is a perfect time for rooting all types of cuttings, actually. A little bit of rooting powder, and you dip the cutting. Take a cutting about 6 or 8 inches long. Strip off the lower leaves. Only leave about 2 or 3 leaves on the plant. Dip the end, just about the bottom inch, into rooting powder, and plant them into a shady, sheltered part of the garden, and water them in well, and just leave them there over the winter. Now, they'll usually have rooted by spring. It'll take you about 2 years to get a plant that's fit to plant as a hedge. You know, it is a slow process. But when you're transplanting them then, always try and lift the roots carefully and move them straight away to a new spot so the roots don't dry out. That's the big problem with bare-rooted laurel, because they have their leaves on them the whole year round. If the roots dry out, the leaves dehydrate, they'll drop all their leaves, half the plants will die. So bare-rooted laurel is not an easy thing to do, to buy as hedging. But doing it from cuttings is very good, very easy, but it will take a bit of time.
Okay, but let's turn our attentions to, I suppose, pruning. It's probably a tad early from my perspective, I presume, to prune apple trees, but Marjorie Rizon wants to know how to rejuvenate, prune an old apple tree. When is the best time to do it? Is it spring when all the apples are gone? Do I have to wait till this tree becomes more dormant?
You can do. You can do it now, or you can also wait until the winter. It's immaterial at the moment which you do. It's often easier to see the structure of the tree in the winter time when there's no leaves on it. But also this time of the year, you can see which branches are heavy and too low to the ground, maybe, or too spindly, or have bad fruit on them, or, you know, maybe are not thriving. So I would do a little bit now, take off anything that's obviously diseased or dead with no leaves on it, remove that sort of stuff, any branches that are crossing. Now, don't cut them. When you're pruning an old apple tree, don't leave stumps of branches here, there and everywhere. Remove a branch completely, because if you leave a stump there, it's going to sprout out maybe 10 shoots instead of the one that was there, and the thing will be twice as vigorous as it was before you started. So just selectively remove branches that you want right out at the stem where they're growing from, and you should get very little regrowth from there then. And that way the tree will be more manageable, more open, more of a nicer shape, because sometimes people come in and hack back an apple tree, and the next year there's 6 foot of growth spurts coming up from every shoot, and it just looks ridiculous after that. So
I've often heard that.
A little now and a little in the winter and a little in the spring. Don't go mad at it in the one go, I'd say.
I would agree. And you were mentioning that maybe when maybe the foliage is gone and the tree is maybe further into the winter, because you can stand back, take a look at the actual tree itself, and subsequently you're able to picture in your own mind what direction you want to go with regarding pruning. How important is it to prune something like an apple tree or a pear tree or whatever the case may be to get better growth the following year or two?
On a young tree, it's quite important to try and shape the tree and keep the tree from getting too congested with too many branches, branches that are crossing over the middle or rubbing off each other that might let disease in. So the formation of the tree in the younger years is quite important. An older tree, generally speaking, is best left alone. If a tree hasn't been pruned for a long time, you're actually better to leave it be, unless it's encroaching on a building, or, you know, you can't mow the lawn under it or something like that. You need to do a little bit of remedial pruning. But it's very severe on an old tree to actually go and take a lot of wood off it. It really shocks it, and it can kill a tree sometimes, or it'll can certainly disrupt its fruiting, and so as little interference as possible on an older tree, only when you have to do it. But a good bit of pruning on a young tree is very helpful.
Okay, well done. Okay, different direction now. This is to do with a polytunnel. A polytunnel that is 4 metres, 4.5 metres by 8 metres. I was just wondering, how is the best way to fasten down the polythene to the ground? What's your top tips?
Most people would put it into the ground, dig a trench all around the polytunnel, probably a good foot deep. So you dig a trench right away around, you pull the polythene down into the ground and put soil in on top of that, and the soil weight will do it. That's kind of the simplest way. More complicated way would be laying timber battens along the bottom at ground level, or just ideally under ground level as well, and you would actually fasten the polythene to the timber batten. And that would be covered over as well. You don't want the wind going in under the sides. So
yeah,
burying the plastic in the ground is generally the most common method.
And probably gives it a better lifespan as well.
Yeah.
I would agree with that, to be honest with you. I was just thinking about, you think of a polyurethane tunnel itself. You think of the way they're structured and everything else. If they're not properly secured, they'll blow up in the wind, they'll go all over the place. Where if you said you build them a foot down and then subsequently put all the soil down, the weight of the soil will keep it in position, and it will also stop the wind coming in and lifting it up.
Yeah, it needs to be quite tight. And also, when you're putting it on, the day you're putting it on should be a calm, very warm day. A few days ago would have been absolutely perfect, because the polythene stretches a little bit in the heat, and you put it on when it's warm, and then as the weather cools, it'll tighten onto the frame. And a tight polytunnel is what you're really looking for. There's no flapping and there's no movement in the plastic against the frame that would cause wear and tear on it.
Okay, right. Here's another one for you. Can you ask Jim, when is the best time to prune a plum tree? John from Kill. I presume that's next year, is it?
Yeah. Plums and cherries, the stone fruit, must only be pruned in the summertime when there's leaves on it. So you can still do it now, but never in the wintertime, because there's a disease called silver leaf that can attack plums and cherries. If they're pruned during the winter, it gets in through the open cuts. It spreads around during the winter months and enters the tree through wounds. But if you do it now, while it still has its foliage on, it'll heal very quickly. And the disease isn't around at the moment, so it'll be all healed up by the winter time. So it's essential to do that in the next sort of 3 weeks, I'd say, really.
Yeah. Okay, here's another one. This is to do with an Acer plant. She says, the leaves on my plant are turning brown and shriveled. It's dying. It looks as if it's dying. Or is there something I can do to prevent it? I've moved it into shaded spot in the garden. Any help, says Rachel.
Browning on Acers is either a shortage of water caused by a shortage of water at the roots,
right,
or the wind is pulling the water out of the leaves. It's too much wind is drying the leaves out. The leaves are very, very thin. And the shortage of water, those tips will turn brown, and it'll spread up the leaves the more dry it is or the more windy it is. So increase the watering at the root. And it should be sheltered enough from the wind if it's in under trees. Now, they love shade, but under trees would be extremely dry at the moment with the drought we've had the last few weeks. So definitely get more water on it now. It will lose its leaves anyway in about, 6 or 8 weeks' time? About 8 weeks' time. But it's a bit early for it to be happening yet, so
yeah.
I would suggest it's too dry at the roots at the moment.
Okay. Now, Jim, from last week, we got a couple of questions in which we WhatsApped to you. So the first of those was, Kai, can you ask the guys, either Yvonne or Jim? Well, it's Jim's turn this week. I just planted a new lawn on a screened topsoil. Lots of these fellas popping up on it. What are they, and does it mean the lawn seeds, something added to it? Yeah, there's kind of like patches and everything else and little bits and pieces. Did you see that picture from last week? You did.
I did, yeah. It's very common with new lawns because when they say screened topsoil, it means the lumps and the stones are taken out of it. But every topsoil is full of seeds of weeds and wild plants. and that lawn was full of plantain. Now, they are, every, no matter where you go, every bit of soil has seeds in it, and every time you sow a lawn, you'll get weed seeds popping up as well, because you've made it nice and level and you've raked it out, perfect for the grass seeds to grow, but it's also perfect then for the weed seeds to grow. The main thing is, don't worry about it. Mowing will take care of a lot of those weeds that grow. Once you start, once the grass gets long enough that you have to put the mower on it, normally about 2 inches high, and set the mower at its highest level for the first cut. You don't want to go too short, or it might pull the young grass plants out of the ground. So just set it very high. Just top it off, and each time you mow the grass, then afterwards lower the mower by a notch until you get down to about 1 inch. The majority of the weeds that grow in the lawn will be killed off by the mowing. They hate getting their heads cut, and the grass will get stronger and squeeze them out as well. Some types that get these flat leaves that push the grass out and evade the lawn more could be treated next spring when the grass is at least 6 months old. You can use a lawn weed killer on it at that stage, and that will deal with any remaining weeds. So it's not bad topsoil, it's not bad grass seed, it's just nature, and every topsoil, every garden is the same, and every lawn, every new lawn that you sow is the same.
Okay.
So don't worry, it will resolve itself.
Right. And the second of those two questions from last week that were requested for you to answer was simple enough. I have a tomato that are very green, the lots of green tomatoes. How do I make them go red, says Geraldine in County Leash.
Patience and time.
Patience, yeah.
You still have a good, this is only early September, and tomatoes is just about the ripening time for tomatoes now. They'll start at the ends of the tomato trusses and work their way up at the inner end and work their way, and at the bottom of the plant and work their way up. So you have 2 months still for tomatoes to ripen naturally to the end of October. So you're beginning to, maybe even since you sent in the text, they might be starting to ripen now, given the good weather we had. If they're outdoors, that's fine. You can't do much about the weather. If they're indoors, reduce the watering a little bit now. Don't water them quite so much. You can remove some of the lower leaves that are keeping sunlight off the tomatoes. Normally, maybe take the leaves off for the bottom 2 or 3 feet of the tomato. And gradually each week you can remove another leaf or two up along. Let's more sunlight in at them. The slightly drier soil will help them to ripen. And time, the autumn time is ripening time for them as well. At the end, as we come near the end of October, you will still have green tomatoes because the younger ones will still be green. Pick them then before there's any hard frost and put them inside on a windowsill. Anywhere in the house, it doesn't need to be a heated room or anything like that. Just lay them out on the windowsill and they will ripen over several weeks into the winter for you.
Good stuff. Okay, well done, Jim, and that one too. Good detailed answer. Let's have a turn our attentions to apples. Well, we're on the apple topic of apples as well. Some of the apples are rotting on a tree, black spots on them. What can I do to stop this, and will it spread to my other tree, says Angela.
The black spot is it's a thing called apple scab, and it can affect any apple tree. It's usually to do with cold weather just after the blossom time, normally around the end of May, early June. If we get a cold, wet snap of weather, then this particular fungus can attack the trees. There's nothing you can do. Some years will be good and some years will be bad. It used to be that you could buy a spray and spray the hell out of the trees every couple of weeks, but nobody does that anymore for all the chemicals you'll be putting on the fruit. You want them as organic as possible. If it's only a spot on the skin, the apple is perfectly usable once you peel it. The spots can develop into cracks and splits in the apple, and they're not so good. But again, if you're cooking with them or anything like that, you can just cut those, cut them out.
Yeah.
The rest of the apple is perfectly fine. It's a blemish on the skin, and that spot of skin dies and dries out, and that can cause a crack in the apple's surface then.
Yeah.
Now, sometimes then wasps and stuff will get into the crack and start feeding as well. Makes the problem a little bit worse, but it's a natural thing, and it's there's nothing you can do to prevent it, really.
Okay, good. Good one, that one. And a couple of more quick ones for you. Caller wants to know what to do with the hanging baskets now. Do you plant them out now? Are pansies and mixed flowers, what do you do with them? Do you throw them out and start again? Where are we at with that?
There should be a good 8 weeks left in them still. If you can keep them watered and keep going with the tomato food, feed them every week, maybe even twice a week. Water them every day still. That's really important. Deadhead, say pansies, the likes of pansies, geraniums, petunias don't need deadheading really, but anything that has that looks like it's forming seeds, take the seeds off. That'll keep more flowers coming on. The feeding is really important, and the watering, because there's potentially another 8 weeks in a good basket. If it's half alive still, it'll reward you still if you keep going with the food. If it's gone and you want to start again, the main things for winter baskets now would be pansies, violas, mini cyclamen, which are beautiful, strong pink and purple and red, white colours. Heathers, beautiful flowering, autumn flowering heathers make a lovely addition to a basket. Lots of berries now, like chili peppers, skimmia, pernettia, solanum, lots of autumn berries you can put into a basket, and silver foliage, little plants. They're not trailing, but they're just pops of silver or little small grasses that you can put into the basket.
Yeah,
they give a lovely autumnal winter basket effect.
Okay, well done, Jim. Just one quick one. Just speaking of hanging baskets, just one somebody wants to know, what about hanging baskets, preparing them for the early part of spring next year? We mentioned, I suppose, the tulips and daffodils and stuff like that. What type of things can go into a hanging basket for early spring flowering?
The best ones there would be your pansies and violas, because they'll flower now and also in the spring. In the springtime, you could add in primroses. You won't get them just yet.
Yeah.
Primroses need much colder conditions to flower up. They'll start flowering from maybe January, February onwards. But for colour, really, the dependable ones are the pansies and violas. And plant them now rather than waiting till October, because if you only plant them in October, they'll stay green through the winter. They need to be flowering now when you're planting them. And then they'll continue flowering through the winter.
Right, one final quick one for you. And it says, do I need to remove the summer flowers to plant the spring bulbs?
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah. Unless you can plant in spaces between them.
Yeah.
You know, if you've any bare gaps between them, you can put them in there.
Yeah.
But if it's in a pot, you have to take out the summer flowers.
Okay. Yeah. Great. Okay, that's a great way to wrap up, Jim. That was very busy today. Thanks for your input, as always. It's Yvonne's turn again next week. And Jim, we'll talk to you again in a few weeks.
Yep, perfect.
Have a good one, my man. And of course, you can contact Johnstown Garden Centre or your local garden centre, anywhere around. But any of the gang down in Johnstown Garden Centre will give you plenty of good advice as well. They're with us again next week. It's Yvonne's turn, as we said. We got more on the way.
The Green Room with Johnstown Garden Centre, home of expert garden advice. JohnstownGardenCentre.ie.
Have anxiety and I have meltdowns. So I left school at 13, but I really wanted to learn for my kids. Since I started this course, I've become more confident. I'm Darren Lee, I'm 48, and I feel positive about the future.
If you struggle with reading, writing, numbers or technology, contact your local education and training board or text LEARN to 50050 or free phone 1800 2020 65. Adult Literacy for Life, brought to you by the Government of Ireland.
Autumn is the best time of year to plant trees, and there's a tree to suit every garden. By planting native Irish trees, you're helping our insects, birds and mammals. Hawthorn, mountain ash or spindle produce flowers for bees and berries for birds. Or how about an apple tree? The flowers feed pollinators and you can enjoy the apples each autumn. Planting a tree is good for our climate and our future too. Visit Kildare County Council website's heritage page for your free gardening booklet that tells you all you need to know. Supported by Kildare County Council, the Heritage Council and the Department of Housing, Local Government and Heritage.
Win with great offers at Super Value, like better than half price Kellogg's Rice Krispies